Hello, this is Kenny Williamson, and welcome back to another episode of Melchizedek Chronicles. In today's episode, we're going to talk about a hypothetical situation, and that situation is a letter from hell. And the situation is, what if you're not saved, and you die for whatever reason, and you go to hell? Now, once you get to hell, what if God allowed you to write a letter to your loved ones to kind of let them know what's going on? What would you tell them? Would they believe it? So I guess if we can start with a Bible passage here, and it's Luke 16:19-31. And basically there you're going to read about a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day, and about a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. So obviously you keep reading here, and it says, you know, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. So you keep on reading the passage here, and it says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now think about that for a minute. He's being tormented in flame, okay? It's fire. He's getting burned. Now I have heard people say, I've heard a couple of different preachers say that hell is nothing more than separation from God. And that's your hell, is separation from God. But from what I can tell from this, the guy is burning. Okay, so it's a little bit more than that. So basically, Abraham says to the rich man that in hell that Lazarus is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So then the rich man, who's in hell, you know, he says to Abraham, I pray thee for, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And so basically, he's asking Abraham to go warn his family for him. And so Abraham tells that guy, the rich man, he says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. So basically, they have the Old Testament. They have the Old Testament to read to know that they're going to go to hell. Okay. Which is referring back to Moses and the prophets here. And basically saying this, that, I mean, you don't have to have a New Testament to know that you're going to have to get saved in order to get out of going to hell. So, I mean, because you can read about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in Isaiah 53 and in Psalm 22. So there are references to that in the Old Testament. And the rich man here, he had access to that information. So that's what Abraham told him. So Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And the rich man says, nay, but if one went into them from the dead, they will repent. So he's wanting to send somebody, he's wanting to send a dead man over there. He's like, you know, hey, send old Lazarus over there. You know, he died, send him over there, and well, shoot, they'll believe him. So Abraham says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So in other words, if they don't believe the Bible, they don't believe the Old Testament, they wouldn't believe even if a dead man were to be resurrected and come speak to him. Now, of course, that doesn't sound right. If one of us, you know, if you're a loved one that's been dead for a while, all of a sudden shows up and starts telling you something, you'd probably want to listen. But, I mean, that's what I would think. If this loved one or somebody you knew shows up and they start telling you this stuff, I mean, maybe you should believe them, right? I mean, you'd believe their testimony, right? So that would be shocking, obviously. So wouldn't it? I mean, I would be shocked. But it has happened in the Bible, and it's been mentioned over and over. For example, you know, Lazarus, Jesus' friend Lazarus, was raised from the dead. And there were people there, you know, who didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. They knew he was dead. He was even stinking. He was raised from the dead. They didn't believe it. That was in John 12. Jesus Christ himself died and was buried and rose again. People didn't believe it. And they saw it, and they still didn't believe it. And the people that saw him told. Now, some of the people that saw him believed it, but not everybody believed it. So, you know, one or two people or whoever may have got this information and spread it around, but majority of people didn't believe it. So now, having said that, obviously, lots of people, according to the Bible, have seen people rise from the dead and tell them about this stuff, and they didn't believe it. So here I am, sitting here on this podcast, I'm going to tell you about hell. You know, of course, I haven't rose from the dead or anything like that. I mean, I've been resurrected spiritually. You know, I've been spiritually rose from the dead as far as that goes. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's a good chance that some people listening to this isn't going to believe what I have to say about hell either, or what the Bible says. They're not going to believe it. Of course, all I'm going to do is tell you what the Bible says about it. And, you know, people back here in the old days in the Bible, they didn't believe it, and it was happening right in front of them. So anyway, I know lots of people, and I know that lots of people are very unconcerned, you know, about hell. I mean, it's like the last thought on their mind. And I'm sure there's nothing that I can personally do to get them concerned. Now, whenever I was told all about heaven and hell and realized that I was a sinner and then I was going to go to hell, and I did finally get saved, you know, that's all I trusted to get me out of hell is leaning on the blood of Christ, obviously. But now I don't know why you wouldn't want to do it if you haven't, other than, you know, maybe you're a better man than I am, you know, or maybe you're a lot smarter man than I am. Either way, you know, God says in the Bible, it says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him." That's in Proverbs 16. So if I were you, I would get saved. So, like I was saying, you go back to Luke 16 about, you know, the rich man over there wanting Lazarus to come back. So what if God allowed that rich man, okay, to write a letter back home from hell, you know, write a letter back to his family? And obviously he wanted to communicate, and he wanted to communicate to his five brothers, you know, and let them know. So besides writing the letter back to his family, I mean, think about that family for a second. Talk about a family in a mess. I mean, you've got this guy, he's talking about his brothers over here, you know, his five brothers. So basically you've got a father with six boys, okay, and all of them are going to hell. Okay, so can you just hear the father now? I know you've heard parents like this before, you know, where the father's telling the preacher, he's saying, "Well, you know, the way I look at it, you know, I'll just let the boy decide for himself when he gets old enough if he wants to go to church. You know, I don't believe you ought to force anybody. I don't think you ought to tell anybody anything they don't want to hear. I mean, don't be trying to jam any religion down my throat or theirs either, you know." You know what I'm talking about, you know. So they won't tell their kids or anybody anything because, you know, don't be doing that. You know, I'm just let them decide for themselves. I ain't going to tell them nothing. So, and here we are later on, they're all going to hell. obviously this brother knows that his brothers are going to hell because, he wants to communicate. He wants to contact his brothers. He wants somebody to go back and tell his brothers not to come here. Okay. So if this guy was actually able to write a letter back to his brothers, you know, I mean, what do you think he would write about? What would he say? I mean, you're in hell. So what are you going to write about to try to actually convince these people they don't want to come to hell? You know, like I said before, you've already got the Bible. And this guy had the Old Testament, but you, whoever's listening to this, I mean, you've got the full Bible. You've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. So you've got that, and you've got every preacher around here, you know, I mean, in the United States of America, you can still be a Christian. So you can find out, you know, you can read a Bible, get a Bible anywhere. So you can learn about heaven and hell any old time you want. So if you won't believe the Holy Bible, you know, God's word written down, you going to believe a letter from a dead person? Maybe. I don't know. Now, in my opinion, you know, if a person was in hell, and you try to think about what they would write about to try to persuade their loved ones not to come here to straighten their lives up and get saved, I guess you could write about torture. Basically, in Luke 16, it says, I am tormented in this flame. You know, I guess he would say, whoever writes this letter would say, well, there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth down here, which is in Matthew 13 and Revelation 18. And, of course, then there's the air. Revelation 14:10 says that the people in hell are tormented with fire and brimstone. Okay, and obviously we know what fire is, but if you don't know what brimstone is, it's basically hydrogen sulfide, which smells like rotten eggs. So if you know what rotten eggs smell like, that's hydrogen sulfide. So I guess you would write about that kind of thing and how horrible it is. You know, it's the horror of hell and all this stuff that's going on here. And I'm sure you could never really get used to being tortured, could you? I mean, getting tortured, you know, like it says, the Bible says there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, that's not going to be any fun. Now, like I said earlier, I mean, there are big name brand preachers that say hell is nothing more than separation from God. That's what hell is, just separation from God. Now, to an unsaved person who doesn't know God and, you know, they're just doing the best they can, living their lives, doing whatever, I mean, they're probably thinking to themselves, well, separation from God, I don't know God now and I ain't doing too bad. But that's a lie, see? That's not what the Bible says about hell, okay? Christ in the Bible says, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and torment and flame. So I don't really think you can just reduce all that down to a simple separation from God. So, and the torture, I mean, how are you going to handle that forever? I don't think you could do it. I think you would lose your mind is what you would do. So along with this weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth and the flame and the torment and all that, of course, you've got the fire and brimstone. And of course, the brimstone, like I said, smells like rotten eggs. So how are you gonna handle that forever, smelling brimstone, you know? I mean, I would think that if a person was going to write their little letter from hell, I would think that they would probably write about that. I mean, I probably would. And there's no way to get used to it. And it goes on and on and on. And there's no end to it. Basically, the torment of hell goes on and on with no let up. According to John, John says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night. And that's in Revelation 14. Now, one thing you're going to hear from lots of Christians, so-called, is they're going to tell you that, you know, God wouldn't let anything like that happen, see, because God is love. And how could a God of love allow something like hell to go on forever and ever, you know, and people to be burning in hell? That's absolutely ridiculous. That's what they would say. They do say that. However, the gruesome fact of the matter is that he does let that stuff go on. And since he does have hell going on, according to the Bible, what makes you think that he wouldn't send you to hell? Okay. I guess the biggest argument for a lot of these people is about hell, saying, you know, the fact of that God lets go on and it's ridiculous. And why would he do it? I mean, he could stop it if he wanted to, couldn't he? Well, sure, he could. He doesn't have to have hell if he doesn't want it. He could stop you from going to hell. I mean, whether you got saved or not, he didn't have to throw you in hell if he doesn't want to, right? Well, that's true too. But he's not going to do anything wrong. God isn't going to do anything wrong to save you from hell, you know, because he's holy. So what he did is he made an escape route for you to get out of going to hell. And he did this by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins. So if you choose to reject the way out, the free way out, then, I mean, you're going to have to go to hell on your own account. I mean, so don't think God won't let you go, because he will. The Bible says he's going to send you there. Now, it also says he doesn't want you to go. Okay? It says that he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance in 2 Peter 3. But be that as it may, he will let you go to hell. Okay? He will send you there. Now, so our guy over here, he's writing his letter from hell. Okay, so he's mentioned, I'm sure, the fire and the brimstone and the torture and the rotten eggs. Maybe he'd write about the company you're going to be keeping down there in hell, too. So if you remember here what Father Abraham said to the rich man down there, he said, "Remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." This is still in Luke 16. Then he says, "And besides all that, besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed." So basically, once you're in there, you can't get out. So once you're in there, you can't get out. Who do you think is going to be in there with you? So I have a feeling that a lot of people are going to get a very, very, I don't know, surprisingly change of company, if you could put it that way. I mean, just picture some of these people, you know. I mean, they may not be Christians, but they pretend to be Christians. Let's take that. Some are Christians, so they don't count. But some are Christians so-called, okay? They pretend to be Christians. Some don't even pretend to be Christians, you know, but they're good people. You know, I mean, they're respectable, possibly even religious, you know, doesn't mean you're saved because you're religious. Keep that in mind. But let's just say, you know, they're respectable, they're religious, they're easygoing, they're friendly, laid back people that you can trust at the bank, have a good credit score. They pay their bills. They tell the truth. They're not liars. They're not thieves. They don't steal anything. They always get along with everybody. They love their neighbor, you know, but yet they're still lost. That's the people we're talking about here. Some really good people. People that are just like, you know, those are some good people right there. Now, they're not saved. They're lost, but they're some really, really good people, okay? So what would you do if you're that kind of a person? You're just a good old boy, okay? And you die, and you wake up in hell. Now, do you think you're going to be surrounded by a bunch of good old boys? No, you're going to be surrounded by people like, I don't know, Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, Charles Manson, all kinds of murderers and scumballs and rapists and killers. And, yeah, some of the ones today that are alive, you know, can you imagine? You know, some of them that are running this country, you know, killery, murderers, and, you know, people drinking babies' blood, and all these actors and actresses that are, you know, into child pornography and, you know, flying over to other islands on jet airplanes and molesting children and everything under the sun, you know, drinking their blood, murdering them and everything else, and God knows what all. That's who you're going to be hanging out with down there. I mean, that's the rat pack, if you will, that you're going to be sitting there having to look at and listen to scream. So that's going to be your new crew, see? So that's the kind of people you're going to get to keep company with down there. Okay, now in this lifetime, when you were alive, you know, you didn't want to be associated with anybody like that. You didn't want to be associated with anybody like that when you were here on Earth. But, you know, you're going to get to be with them and live with them forever, right down there in hell. Isn't that going to be nice, having to listen to some nasty, perverted baby eater, you know, sitting there and whimper and whine and cry about the smell and how their skin's burning off? And you're right there with them. Talk about a party. Now, you know, you're going to hear a lot of people. I've heard this myself. I've been called a hypocrite. Why? I mean, Kenny Williamson, he's a hypocrite. Well, why is Kenny Williamson a hypocrite? Well, because, see, Kenny Williamson's not perfect. He's not so righteous that he can use his own righteousness to get to heaven. He's a sinner. Wow. Newsflash. Everybody is. The Bible says if you think you're not a sinner, you're a liar. So, of course I'm a sinner. Who isn't? I was born a sinner. Now, am I going to get forgiven and get to go to heaven anyway? Yes, because I'm saved. On no account of mine. I never claimed it was. It's a free gift. It's grace. By faith. That's all it is. That's all anybody can be. But, you know, you've got people that can't accept that. They're going to say, well, you know, you're just nothing but a hypocrite. And there's too many hypocrites in the church, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to get saved. I'm not going to be one of those saved Christians. They're all hypocrites. Well, maybe you should put up with a few of the hypocrites here rather than live with all of them down there in hell forever. Oh, you're going to have a lot of hypocrites down there. I mean, real hypocrites that are like, well, you know, I pretended to be saved and I wasn't. Now, that's a pretty good hypocrite right there. So, basically, that change in company, that change of people you're going to be hanging out with, that's going to be one of the most horrible things about hell for you, for some people. I mean, of course, it would be the burning of the flesh for me, but, you know, you're going to have to hang around with some pretty nasty, skanky society down there. Okay, so that's a big, monstrous change in social class, don't you think? So, now I have heard and read different things where unsaved people, you know, they say, this is a popular thing among them, some jokes, you know, they'll say, well, heaven for climate and hell for company. Okay, well, I would disagree on the hell for company. I believe that when you get to hell, your company isn't going to be your friends anymore. Okay, they're not going to be down there admiring you. And they're not going to be down there loving you, okay? So, yeah, you're going to be out there, like I said, you're going to be down there with the baby eaters and the sadists and the liars and the prostitutes and the whoremongers and the, you know, everything you don't want to be around here, that's where you're going to be. So, you know, the Bible does say God is love, and that's in 1 John 4:8, okay? But the Bible also says God is a consuming fire in Hebrews 12. So there's not going to be any love going on in heaven, okay? You ain't going to be partying with your buddies, living it up, all right? That ain't going to happen. There's going to be nobody down there loving on you, okay? No love. How about you husbands and wives who fight all the time? You know, it's constantly cussing each other out and calling each other names and fussing and fighting and neither one of you're saved, you know. How would you like to get into a big cuss screaming fight, you know, for 150 million years from now on, eternity? You know, cussing each other out, calling each other filthy names, you know, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Spend eternity doing that and on fire on top of it all? Yeah, I don't think so. How about you wives, you know, that kept your husbands from getting saved? and you husbands that kept your wives from getting saved, you know, because of one of, you know, jealous of the church or whatever it was, but you just fought each other to the point and neither one of you got saved, then you both die. I mean, do you think you're going to have some kind of a sweet fellowship down there in hell? Nah, I don't think so. So we've got our letter here that you're going to write, you know, or somebody's writing. Maybe he would write about the horror of the place of hell, trying to warn his family and friends. Maybe you write about the change of company. You know, you've got the torment, the horror, you've got the change of company, so you're having to keep company with freaks. I mean, maybe you'd write about that. Maybe you'd also write about all the chances. You say, well, the chances, what are you talking about? Well, all the chances that you had to get saved. Think about that. Can you imagine, you know, what a shameful thing it is for a man or a woman, for anybody in America, to wind up in hell? Imagine how ashamed you're going to be when you show up down there. I mean, think about it. Here you are in America. Okay. In America, you can hear the gospel morning, noon, and night. Okay. They have got radio stations, apps. Now, of course, I mean, you don't have to turn into the radio station. They're playing live on an app on your phone. They're on the computer. So everybody's got a smartphone, and just download the app to any one of these things and listen to it 24 hours a day. So you literally have access to, you know, that. You've got access to the Bible, TV shows, radio programs, churches, billboards, gospel tracts, bumper stickers on the back of cars. I like those because I have several myself. I like bumper stickers. You've got access to Christmas cards. I mean, you've got access literally to everything. And, you know, In God We Trust written on stuff all over. Even on your coins, on your money, you know. So everything that's out there, you have full access to with absolutely no excuse. So after all that, and knowing, and you can go on any of these different places and hear about miracles and people being healed and all kinds of miraculous stuff. After all that, what are you going to do in hell? What are you actually going to do to get to hell? I mean, you've had every chance in the world. Just don't want to take it. You know, my only thought on that is you like the flesh just a little too much. I mean, you just don't want to give it up. You're just like, why would I want to go get saved? Then I can't go out on the town and do anything I want with my friends, so-called, you know, my really good friends that are taking you right down that wide road to hell. Just do anything you want to do and as much as you want to do. Raise hell every night. Yeah, I guess they just don't want to change that. I mean, that's your only excuse. I mean, I guess I'd be ashamed and embarrassed whenever you actually get there and they're going to say, wow. I mean, think about it. You're going to show up with a bunch of these freaks down there and they're going to say, well, you mean you lived in the Bible Belt over there and you managed to make it here? Well, why didn't you listen? Well, you know, I wanted to drive around with my LGBTQ and all these others and take my clothes off and walk down the street and try to, you know, talk children into sex crimes. Oh, really? Well, no wonder you're here. And of course, you've also got the ones that are like, well, you know, I'm doing wrong. I admit it. And I'm going to get, you know, I've got a little more time. I've got some more time before I have straighten up. You know, why straighten up when I'm young? I mean, I want to party hardy right now. I want to raise hell. So I tell you what, when I get a little older and everything slows down and I don't look so good anymore and, you know, I'm not able to get around and go party, that's when I'll, you know, I'll kind of slow down then. Maybe I'll get saved then, you know. I would say to myself, well, I mean, I would say to you as a person that was saying that to yourself, I would say, well, I don't know what you're waiting on, stupid, because you're not guaranteed one more breath. You ain't guaranteed tomorrow. let alone some ripe old age that you can decide to just change your mind 20, 30 years from now. You ain't guaranteed that. You ain't guaranteed tomorrow. You ain't guaranteed another heartbeat. So, wake up, stupid. I mean, your time is drawing nigh, or it could be. We don't know. You willing to take that chance? I mean, watch the news. I mean, how many people are dying left and right? You know, we had all kinds of deaths. You know, now we've got, you know, we've always had sudden, you know, infant death syndrome. Now we've got sudden adult death syndrome. You know, these perfectly healthy adults line up to go get, you know, medicine for a disease they don't have. And about the time they get the second or third dose of medicine, well, all of a sudden they're dead. Their heart stops. How many people do you know that are good old boys that have got medicine for a disease they don't have? How much time do they have left? Well, you know, there's actors. Just get on the computer. Just Google it. Famous actors now. Big famous actors that, you know, went and took medicine that they don't need. All of a sudden they've got strokes. Now they're blind. All kinds of stuff over and over and over. You know, I wonder what they were thinking, you know, right before that stroke. And now they're not able to do anything. You know, they're brain dead or whatever they are. Yeah, you ain't guaranteed anything. So if I were you, I'd probably, you know, I'd probably act, okay? Because how do you know how long you're going to live? And, you know, if you die before you get saved, you're going to go to hell. Okay, you're going straight to hell. So, I mean, you don't know how much time you have. But, you know, as far as when it comes to chances for you to get saved, I mean, good grief. How good has God been to some of you? Think about that for a second. Especially us down here, you know, and where we live in the South, Southerners. Okay? I mean, the gospel's been down south from the beginning. So, I mean, if you're down here, you know, in Arkansas, Oklahoma, and anywhere down south, you have absolutely no excuse. Okay? I mean, you probably, truth be told, you'd have to admit that you've had 10 or 15 chances to get saved before you finally did. I mean, you've had chance after chance after chance. I know I did, and I never did it. I didn't want to hear it. It's no telling how many chances I had before I finally accepted it. So, you know, if God gave you, let's say, more than 5 chances to get saved, you know, you've had the opportunity over 5 times and you rejected it. I mean, do you think God's obligated to do that? Is he obligated to do anything really like that? I mean, it's written in the Bible. You've got the scripture. You could read it and do it if you wanted to, but you don't want to. So then he sends people along in, like this podcast, sends people along to remind you that, oh, you're not saved. You better get saved before you go to hell. Might not have another day left. Nah, that's another chance gone. And you're going to hear another one, and you're going to get a gospel tract, and, you know, chance after chance after chance. So do you think God owes you 2 or 3 chances? You know, I mean, do you think he owes you anything, really? I mean, he's given you at least 1 chance. Does he keep owing you chances over and over and over and over after you keep rejecting it? I mean, I personally don't think he does. But can you imagine, though, after having all these chances and you end up winding up in hell anyway, after having all those chances to get saved and you wind up in hell? You talk about stupid. Okay, I mean, I don't know what else to call it. I mean, you'd have to be ignorant. You know, it's beyond my imagination how you could take the Bible, if you were to read it, okay, and look at all of the prophecies in there. Every single one of them came true. And now, even the things you read in there about different buildings and different people in the Bible, They are digging them up over there right now. They have found all kinds of different things, like Sodom and Gomorrah. They think they've even found it. And guess what it's covered in? Sulfur. They've got stones of sulfur because the Bible says it rains sulfur down on them and fire and brimstone. They have found these different ones. They found all these digs and archaeological things under the sand over there, wherever they're at. And they're like, yeah, this is the tomb of such and such. And, you know, they found the tomb of one of the guys that they carried back from Egypt. They found his empty tomb. It's like, well, the Bible says that they buried him, and then they dug him up and they moved him. And sure enough, they find his empty tomb. I mean, it's just, there's so much proof that it's real. And then, of course, on top of everything else, actually getting, once you get saved and you change and the miracles and all kinds of supernatural stuff that, just unbelievable. I mean, I don't know how a person couldn't consider that and read the Bible and get saved. I just don't understand it. So that brings me back to, if you were able to write a letter from hell, I think that you would probably write about some of the chances that you had to get saved and you didn't do it. So think about that. After all your chances, all of your warnings, after everything you've heard and seen, and you know it, deep down you know it, you can't deny it, and then you wind up in hell, after all of that, wouldn't you be ashamed of that? It'd be shameful. You'd be ashamed when you wind up in hell. It's disgusting that you wound up there, and you're going to be disgusted with yourself. So I think one of the things you're going to need to write about when you decide if you're able to write, which you won't, but let's just pretend, you're going to write about the horror of the place, obviously, like we said, and you're going to maybe write about the shame of being in a place that you didn't have to be in. You know, because like the Bible says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. So basically, when you decide to write this letter, if you were able to write this letter, just keep in mind, you could have gotten saved, but you didn't. So that's an awful terrible thing to think about, isn't it? You could have done it, but you didn't. So maybe another thing you might write about is just the hopelessness of the place. Okay. So basically, what is the hopelessness of hell, do you think? What is that? Well, I would say that the hopelessness of hell is that you have no future. You have no other future than just right there burning up. There's no end to it. You have no future other than right there with your new rat pack of scuzzball friends, and you're all burning on fire. And so there's no cure for it. There's no end. Now, I personally think that you will probably, due to the torture and everything, you're going to lose your mind. I think you're going to totally lose your mind. You're going to go insane. You're going to go crazy. And I believe you'll lose your whole sense of identity and everything that makes you you. I don't think you'll be able to even, you know, you're not going to be able to sit around and talk about it. In other words, you're just going to be absolutely insane, insane pain, lost your identity, kind of like somebody with Alzheimer's. You ain't going to know nothing. You ain't going to know nothing. You're just going to sit there and burn up. So how long do you think you're going to sit there and burn up? Well, the Bible says forever. Okay? The Bible says forever. Now, I know these so-called Christian so-called, would say, oh, God wouldn't do a thing like that. Well, he says that he will. And of course, you're going to say, well, I don't believe it. Well, Jesus believed it. Moses believed it. Apostle Paul believed it. John believed it. You know? And basically, any Christian who reads the Bible and believes the Bible, then they believe it, because that's what the Bible says. It's in black and white. So I guess if you were to say, well, I still don't believe it. Well, what if it is true? What if it's true? You willing to take that chance? You know, I mean, that's a pretty big, that's a 50-50 chance. You know it. It's either true or it's not. That's a pretty big chance. And what if you're wrong? Well, I just don't understand. Why would you take a 50-50 chance on that? I mean, think about it. If the Bible was wrong, what's the worst you've done? You've lived a good life, a good moral life, trying to do the right thing. I mean, that's it. In the end, you would go to the grave just the same as another person would go to the grave. You'd both be in the same place. But if the Bible's right, okay, then you're going to hell. Okay, one's going to heaven, one's going to hell. That's a pretty big difference. So in my opinion, why take the chance? Why not just go ahead and get saved and just don't take the chance? I mean, I understand that in this life here on earth, you have to take a lot of chances. You know, you always take chances here on earth, you know, like marriage, getting married is a chance. You know, my daughter just recently got married. Married is a chance. I mean, it could be a good thing, but then it could be a bad thing. You know, when you go to school, you're taking a chance. When you change jobs, you're taking a chance. When you let your kids go somewhere, you know, away from you, you're taking a chance. But why take a chance with your eternal salvation? You know, why take a chance on that when you don't have to? I mean, you don't have to take a chance on that. You don't have to take a chance of going to hell. You have a cure for it. You have a cure for it. And then if it doesn't show up, well, you won't be any worse, will you? You won't be any worse off. So, I mean, if no hell shows up, I still would not regret my decision to get saved. You know, I mean, I've had a better time in my Christian life than I ever had in my pre-Christian life. I mean, I was a miserable, angry, basically disgusting person back then. So I've had way better life being a saved Christian than I ever did not being saved. So, I mean, I think even if there weren't a hell, I wouldn't want to go back to the old way of living. I wouldn't want to go back and reject Christ, even if there wasn't a hell. I mean, because my life's been better with Jesus Christ than it would have been with the devil anytime, whether there's hell or not. But, I mean, the Bible says there is, and I believe what the Bible says. So, you know, here on earth, people say that time heals all wounds. And there's probably some truth to that here on earth, but not in hell. Time doesn't heal anything in hell because there isn't any time there. It just goes on for eternity. And basically, hell will last for as long as God lives. So God, you know, if he lives for eternity, that's how long you're going to be there, as long as God lives. So now, after having said all that and talking about our letter to hell, or a letter from hell, not to hell, basically, after all that, moral of the story is, you know, if you don't get right while you have the chance here on earth, then you'll end up in hell, and you sure ain't ever going to get right in hell, okay? And the reason for that, it's all about human nature. I mean, there's nothing about hell that's going to change your nature. Now, you're going to want out of there, you know. You're going to scream and yell, and you're going to want out. But once you got out, you wouldn't change, because the only thing that can change you is the Holy Spirit. And the only thing, you know, through the new birth. So you can be changed by the Holy Spirit through the new birth, through getting saved. Being tortured isn't going to make you get saved. You have to accept Jesus Christ. So even being tortured isn't going to make any difference. I mean, all hell's going to do is just make you hate God even more. So your best bet is to get saved while you have the chance here on earth, because once that chance ends here, like I said, it's over. you're done. You don't get another chance. That's it. You're done. So, like it says in the Bible in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now, before it's too late. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're not saved, my advice to you is do not wait another minute. Get saved right now. Because after you die, you don't have any days left, okay? God's not going to accept any length of time after you die, okay? He only accepts it now when you're alive. So once you slip into that lake of fire, into hell, time ceases. You're done. Okay, you're there for eternity. So if I were you, of course, you know, I would not want to slip into that lake of fire. I would not want to go to hell. Only thing you're going to get there is shame, rage, sorrow, pain, suffering, torment. That's all that's waiting on you there. So my advice to you is don't take any chances. Get saved now. And in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So, if you're saved, great. Congratulations, I'll see you in heaven. If you're not, today's the day, now's the time. I mean, there's no time like the present. You can do it right in your own home. Just, you know, get on your knees, pray to Jesus and say, you know, accept him into your heart. And you have to just believe in Jesus Christ. Believe he lived, died on the cross and shed his precious blood for your sins and was resurrected, you know, and just confess that with your mouth out loud to yourself. I mean, to somebody, whatever, you know, just get it in your heart and get right while you can. So I sure hope this helps somebody. You know, if it did, please like and share. And you can also contact us on our email at truthseekers2012@gmail.com. Also, if you feel like it, please go check out our website, kennywilliamson.com, and go check us out. Let us know what you think. And thanks for listening, and God bless you.